This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott, and today's show is all about technicalities. Those are the opportunities within rules, if you will. So far, we've talked about a judicial loophole that could be exploited to allow or even lead someone to commit a serious crime. And now we're going to explore some of the many technicalities found in religious laws and doctrine. Father James Martin is editor-at-large of the Jesuit magazine called America and author of The Jesuit Guide to Almost Everything. Father James, welcome to Word of Mouth.
My pleasure.
Well, Father, I have a confession. I guess that's appropriate. I grew up in a Catholic household, and we used to go to Mass in the afternoon on Christmas Eve so we could have Christmas Day free. Were we using a technicality to get out of going to Mass on the actual holiday?
Well, more and more people are doing that. Actually, on Christmas, there's the vigil Mass, you know, which counts for Christmas Day. But a lot of parishes are pushing it back so that the vigil Mass, or, you know, the so-called midnight Mass, is now at 4 p.m. So the midnight Mass is now no longer at midnight.
I like how you say it counts. I mean, that's the way I think we think of it in our mind. Well, this counts as Mass, right?
Yeah, I'm probably betraying a little bit of my kind of cultural heritage too. But, you know, the idea is you want to go to Mass on the holy days. You want to worship the Lord, and you also want to do it in conjunction with the rest of the church. And, you know, the rest of the church is doing it on a particular day at a particular hour. So, you know, thus it does count.
Well, here's one of the areas where I think the faithful often look for technicalities: Lent. So during the Lenten season, first give us the Cliff Notes version of what a proper Lenten observance is.
Well, there are three pillars of Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. And while most Catholics think it's just about giving up things, you know, it's really about doing things and trying to prepare yourself emotionally and, you know, more importantly, spiritually for Easter. And, you know, really it's around preparing yourself and trying to be good to the community and be generous to the community as a way of preparing yourself for Easter.
So who is required to fast?
All Catholics. I think it's over the age of 12 and under 65. I may be wrong on that, but after a certain period, you're not required to fast. You know, it's fasting on Fridays from meat, and it's also trying to fast in general to prepare yourself. Now, interestingly, at the beginning of this practice, the fasting was done so that you could save money to give the money to the poor.
So the point is not that you can't have meat. I mean, can you have broth or, you know, meat juice or, you know, margarine?
I don't think you can have beef broth, for example. I think that would cross the line. The thing is, you know, not to get too wrapped up in the rules and to use it as a way of reminding yourself that, you know, your body is not, you know, in control of you, that you can refrain from certain things, that it's also a way of being in solidarity with people around the world who don't eat.
We used to look at it so differently. I remember on Sundays we used to think, oh, you can stop giving up chocolate, for example. The chocolate was a famous one for us to give up at Lent. Or in Louisiana, there are churches who hold fish fries on Fridays with fried fish and sides, you know, like these huge parties, or they'll serve alligator because they're not technically meat. I mean, what do you think when you hear these stories of people just sort of trying to get over?
Well, I'm of two minds. You know, on the one hand, I think, look, people are trying their best. And if they need a break from that, you know, to try their best, fine. On the other hand, you know, I know there are other places, for example, in New York, you know, people ask me all the time, is St. Patrick's Day optional, you know, for fasting? On the other hand, you want to say to some of these people, it's not about rules. And really, if you can't really kind of refrain from eating meat on one day to save money and give to the poor and prepare yourself, you know. So on the one hand, you try to be generous and compassionate to people. On the other hand, you really want to try to kind of urge them to really prepare themselves.
Well, I think this has also changed a lot, hasn't it, in the past, let's say, 50 years, you know, after Vatican II, certainly, or since, when the Catholic Church is frankly looking to expand its flock. I mean, is it better for the church to have fewer hard and fast rules?
Well, I don't think that's the reason behind it. I don't think it's kind of a, you know, way to kind of increase more people coming to masses. I think it's more an understanding after the Second Vatican Council that it's not so much about rules and, you know, following black and white, you know, guidelines, but a way of life. It's more important that you act charitably and lovingly and forgive and, frankly, be kind during Lent than it is giving up chocolate. I mean, when you think about what God wants and what Jesus asks of us, it's not so much to give up chocolate, it's to forgive our neighbor and to be kind to one another. And so, as Jesus says at one point, that's the kind of fast that I want.
Is looking for these loopholes and these technicalities a new phenomenon, or is that just human nature to want to get out of things?
It's human nature. I mean, you have stories in the Gospels where someone comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" And Jesus tells him all the things and says, "And love your neighbor." And the person says, "And who is my neighbor?" And Jesus tells the story about the Good Samaritan. And, you know, you could read that story as the person saying, "Well, exactly what do you mean by that? You know, are there any loopholes?" And Jesus gives the person no loopholes. It's human nature. And I find myself sometimes sort of lapsing into that. But, you know, it really behooves us to remind ourselves this is about conversion and this is about our hearts and being kind more than it is about following certain rules.
How about the technicalities about getting divorced, of which there are many in the Catholic Church? Do you have to get an annulment?
In order to receive communion, you have to get an annulment. And, in fact, that's one of the things that the Synod of Bishops on the Family was just discussing a few weeks ago. That's a very hot topic and quite complicated. So those the pastoral application of those rules may change, you know, within a year or two. So we'll see what the bishops have to say.
I've always wondered about that, the idea of receiving communion. I mean, wouldn't that be about an intention, an aspiration? I would like to receive the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, as it is in the faith. But you have to do certain things in order to earn that right.
Well, in a sense, everyone has that right or that privilege by virtue of their baptism, basically, and by virtue of participating in the sacraments. But and once again, it's something that's being discussed, you know, right now by the bishops. But basically, the idea is to receive communion. You know, the host, you need to be in communion with the church fully. And currently, under church teaching, someone who is divorced and remarried, and remarried, a divorced person can receive, is not considered in full communion with the church. Now, there are people who in their consciences, after praying about church teaching and speaking to their pastors, have decided that their conscience allows them to do that. And there are people that I know who are divorced and remarried who present themselves in the communion line. It's a very complicated topic. And I do hope, though, that the bishops will ease some of these restrictions, because I know there's a lot of pain around that. I know a lot of divorced and married Catholics who are really struggling with that.
Well, in the grand scheme of things, are getting over on these technicalities, is this an important thing? Or are these kind of harmless? Is this just what people do?
It's about what helps us get closer to God. Jesus in the Gospels is always railing against people that put rules and laws over the human condition. If following these Lenten practices and giving things up helps you to feel closer to God, fantastic. But I always tell people, if it's something that kind of gets in your way, then don't do it. If the technicalities are burdening you and making you feel like God is kind of a parole officer, you know, or a traffic cop, then move away from it and try to do some sort of other preparation for Lent or for some of these other liturgical seasons.
Father James Martin, editor-at-large of The America, the Jesuit magazine, and author of Jesus, A Pilgrimage. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.